The Guardian.
World Cup Daily Live with James Richardson on Guardian.co.uk.
Day 8 of the World Cup saw more jaws hit the floor. In Cape Town, England met their nadir, so far anyway, in goalless draw with Algeria. We're sorry to let our fans down against easy opposition, said Algeria manager. Elsewhere, USA get comeback draw with Slovenia and Germany are beaten. But, says Yogi Löw, I'm still confident we'll be there at the next round because I put a call in to Robbie Earle. All of this and more as we review the most surprising day yet at South Africa 2010 and look forward to Saturday's games. Ghana, Australia, Denmark, Cameroon and Japan, Holland. All of that in today's World Cup Daily. Hello world. A very special World Cup Daily after what has been a very special day at the World Cup. Here with us, alongside me, producer Ben, Greg Ruffley and Barry Glendenning of the Guardian Sports Department.
Hello.
Hello.
Paul McKinney's out of the Music Department.
Present.
Yep, and me, AC Jimbo. And hello, audience. By the way, who just sat through England, Algeria. Don't worry, England actually won 3-0. We just had you watching the ITV feed. Anyway, a dismal evening for everyone but the Algeria fans. We'll be getting on to... Well, no, let's have a quick comment first on this extraordinary game. Barry, you were doing minute by minutes.
It was an indefensibly bad performance from England. I think that was just a nation getting a huge wake-up call. They're not a good team. They are very unlikely to beat Slovenia in the next round. I got monstered for saying this last weekend. I'd be very surprised if anyone takes offence at me criticising them this time round. They're shocking.
Greg?
Well, last night on the pod, we said that France were dreadful. But, I mean, they weren't trying last night. England were actually trying tonight, and they were worse.
There's a fascinating psychological conundrum at the heart of this, isn't there? Because we're not a bad team. As they kept on saying on ITV, like 9 out of the outfield 11 play against the best players in the world and give their best and compete equally week in, month out, whatever, in the Champions League, in the Premiership. But on that game tonight, we had Gerrard couldn't control the ball. I mean, Rooney. Have you ever seen Wayne Rooney play that badly in a football match before? He was absolutely terrible. Frank Lampard had a stinker. Ashley Cole had a good 5 minutes at the beginning and then was anonymous. Glenn Johnson was terrible. You could go on and on. These players can play good football and they didn't play at all. And that's a mystery.
It is a mystery, one which we'll be returning to very, very shortly. Firstly, though, let's just round up all the latest news from around the World Cup.
Bong.
North Korea have not lost 4 players to defection, FIFA announced today. Questions were raised when 4 players were listed as absent on the team sheet for the country's opener against Brazil, but that's been explained as a clerical error. Still no word, though, on the 11 French players who went missing Thursday against Uruguay.
Bong.
Speaking of defective players, the Socceroos have been approached by former Spurs manager Osvaldo Ardiles, who says he wants to be Australia's new national coach. Yes, I'm very interested, claims Ardiles. I've always wanted to manage a national team, so it'll be great if it happens. I'm sure there's not going to be a shortage of candidates, though. If only there was a catchy tie with his name, but Australia Ardiles, it's nothing. And finally...
Ding dong.
Swiss supermarket Migros is counting the cost of their advertising campaign before Switzerland's game with Spain, which promised big discounts off everything for one day if Switzerland beat the Spanish. The shock Swiss victory cost them £4.18 million. You have to say 30 girls in orange miniskirts would have been cheaper. So then, England, Algeria. First off, shall we hear from a man who was there at the Greenpoint Stadium, Kevin McCarra? And let me start by asking, Kevin, what's the mood like there?
Well, I think the exasperation and disbelief soon gave way to anger. We heard booing towards the end. You can't always tell what booing exactly means. It may not have been intended personally at Fabio Capello, but it's the first time he's heard that in the context of England team, I would suggest. Algeria really should not be a match for England. All due respect to them, defended well. And in fact, they didn't even have to defend all that well, really. There was no incisiveness, no imagination. And I think, in particular, key players who are crucial, like Wayne Rooney, just didn't really make much impact at all. And Capello has hardly anyone else to turn to in those circumstances. I would suggest it's strange after this game to think that Joe Cole is yet to have a minute on the pitch. He at least has some craft and guile about him. I really don't feel that Aaron Lennon and Sean Redcock, who came on, are delivering any sort of imagination. And England's situation isn't hopeless, of course. The final game still lies ahead. But in the context of the tournament, they look very much like also rounds, and there's going to have to be a transformation.
Absolutely. Joe Cole, it's strange. I don't know what he's done. He turned up in flip-flops or something, but it can't seem to get on the pitch despite the fact so many big players are underperforming. What's the view in the press box? Do they have any explanation as to why everybody's so off their game?
I think we saw it in the previous match, and you can attribute a bit of it to the Premier League schedule and the fact there's no break in January. But really, England are still searching for a moment when they do something exciting that gets everyone going. I think if there was a feeling of adventure and that they had something to offer, then the tires would drain away from people. But at the moment, they're just plodding and they can't seem to find that kind of breakthrough, that kind of galvanising episode in the game. And the drudgery from beginning to end.
Yeah, they're looking scared as well. Of course, they can still qualify with a victory over Slovenia, but can England beat Slovenia, Kevin?
I mean, I'm not giving up there predicting good news for England. It makes me look stupid. But I think Slovenia are quite a worry when you consider what they have done in the sense of having knocked out Russia yet for this tournament. And from what I saw of them earlier on, they have been playing at least as well as England. It sounds ludicrous, doesn't it, to talk about Slovenia as being a threat, but England really are going to have to produce a performance much nearer the sort they saw in the qualifiers against Croatia and so on. Who can believe now that England scored 4 in Zagreb and 5 against Croatia at Wembley? It seems like a different lifetime.
Yeah. Well, listen, good luck with your post-game press conference, Kevin. That should be extremely entertaining, and we'll read all about it tomorrow.
OK, James, thank you very much.
Thanks, Kevin.
World Cup Daily with James Richardson. Just like being in South Africa.
Kevin McCarra.
At one point, somebody might have to invest in a satellite phone.
I'm not sure which is funnier, the fact that we decided to send Kevin underwater before we interviewed him, or the fact that he said sometimes you can't tell why people are booing.
Well, Barry, as you were pointing out, Wayne Rooney knew exactly who they were booing.
Yeah, when he walked off the pitch, there was a camera on him, and he looked straight down the barrel and said sarcastically, it's probably better if Greg says this, the accent down.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice to see your own fans booing. You're all great England supporters, aren't you?
Is that okay?
What did Stevie G say then?
Sound.
Do you think the England team read the papers in their camp?
They might have it read to them. I'm not sure.
I'm surprised you even put the words "the" and "papers" at the end of that sentence, to be honest. I would imagine some of them probably do. Yeah, but probably only the tabloids. Players are famously obsessed with their ratings out of 10, which ironically are probably the things journalists pay the least attention to and always forget to do and end up just shouting small numbers down the phone at an angry sub-editor. But none of them are going to get a very high mark tonight, and nobody deserves a high mark. I think at the end of the game on ITV they were praising David James in so much as he hadn't done anything wrong. And this was worthy of comment. So make of that what you will.
All right. What about the Algerian side then, eh? They watched the Battle of Algiers before the game to whip themselves up into the appropriate state of frenzy. And boy, did it work.
Well, they did have a few IEDs at the touchline. But nobody actually got wide enough. Hassan Yebda kind of dribbled around one at the end, but kind of didn't bring it off. I think Algeria are neither here nor there, and I think Slovenia neither here nor there. They're both terrible teams. It's not a question.
Sorry,
about,
no. Slovenia are not a terrible
yeah,
team.
Yeah, they are both terrible teams, and it's not a question of whether we're good enough to beat them or not. It's a question of whether we can get ourselves together to do it.
They can pass the ball better than England.
England can pass the ball. England can pass the ball in qualification. We won until the job was done. We won every single game. game, and we passed the ball in every single game, and we scored goals what looked like for fun. And you can't really tell me that Slovenia are a significantly better side than Croatia, or Algeria are a better side than Croatia.
But this evidence in the tournament, when the players get the ball, they can actually control it and turn, and they can pass
minutes,
the ball.
90 minutes, and we played absolutely dreadful. There was something going on. Somebody, I think there's been a sexual encounter in the camp. Somebody has done something they shouldn't have done in the showers.
Leave her out of this.
I can't slander people in the room. We had John Terry, however.
We had Terry alongside a Carragher.
Yeah.
Just like at the last World Cup.
And Jamie Carragher doesn't like... he obviously doesn't like England, so maybe he's brought his family along again.
I think Paul's arrogant dismissal of Slovenia and Algeria is symptomatic of everything that is wrong with the England team. Slovenia have demonstrated in two matches that they're better than England. They've won a game. They played well against the USA.
Well, they drew with the USA, which is what England did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they've won their other game against the team England haven't played yet.
Yeah, but
they've shown
their would anyone in the right mind bet on England to beat Slovenia in the next game?
All right,
the strength
that's
of their performances today.
No, he said in their right mind. But the group obviously has Slovenia, plucky Slovenia, smallest nation at the World Cup, top of the table. England then tied with the USA and Algeria underneath. That and it could all end up with lots being drawn, apparently, but the likelihood is that a victory against Slovenia would take England through. Can England beat Slovenia, Greg Ruffley?
Well, of course they can beat Slovenia, but on that evidence tonight, I really don't think they're going to be capable of doing it. And one of the main reasons for me is that Gareth Barry was brought into the... Or Gary Barry, as we called him last night.
Gareth Barry.
Yeah, as Capello called
him. Gary Barry, yeah.
He wouldn't look for the ball and come and get it off the fullbacks when they get it. So instead, they're just lumping it up the line, and the ball's getting lost on Heskey's chest, and it bounces away 10 yards, and then he runs off.
That's a really interesting point. I don't think any of the midfield showed tonight enough in the centre of the pitch.
No,
nobody wanted the ball.
And you talk about England players being brave, and they just weren't brave tonight because they just didn't want to stand up.
Did you notice when the kickoff? I'm sure everybody noticed this actually, but the kickoff first half, the ball gets played within 2.5 seconds. Frank Lampard gets the ball out by the touchline. Simple pass into the centre, Steven Gerrard misses by 10 yards. And that just set the tone. There was a lack of confidence. There was a lack of confidence in the passing and a lack of aggression in wanting to have the ball. And that was consistent.
Are they just freaked out by spending 3 weeks in a closed environment with Fabio Capello, do you think?
I think at some point, the players have got to step up and take responsibility. I have a printout here for World Cup 2006 and England's performance, and it's topped by a teary picture of Owen Hargreaves. And I don't know if you can remember, but Owen Hargreaves was a person who acquitted himself like an American, partly because he is, or Canadian, same thing. And, you know, we had a real mental failure in that competition. We never performed properly. And each game you get yourself hyped up, think we're going to turn it around this time, we never did, and we're doing exactly the same thing again. The problem is with the players, not with the coach.
But what about the players that are being picked? A lot of people thought Heskey played well last weekend, didn't see it myself. Well, I did see it, I just don't understand where they were coming from. There was one stage tonight, the 32nd minute, David James tried to launch a quick counter-attack. He threw the ball to Heskey on the halfway line. It hit his shin and rolled to an Algerian who was standing about 10 feet away from him, and Algeria went on another sortie into England territory. I said last night, and unbelievably I was right for once, that Algeria would target Glenn Johnson, and they did. And the excellent Karim Ziani and who's the left back, Belhadj,
yeah.
They just ripped him a new one. Like they made him look like the proverbial supporter who'd won a prize to play left or right back for England for a night. And it was astonishing.
Well, we'll have the opportunity to slag England off more, perhaps, come the game with Slovenia. In the meantime, it is a traditional a Capello group performance, all singing from different song sheets with no proper backing. oh, dear. Anyway, quick note for Slovenia, who, as you mentioned, Barry, did all but, do for the USA. Although then the USA came storming back. It was a very controversial refereeing decision that denied them the victory at the end.
Yeah, saw it, and it was there was never a foul.
No,
it was they were just tossing with each other, 6-1 after the other. Cliche.
It was a brilliant comeback from the US team.
Yeah, it was, and it was the son of Bob Bradley. I forget. Michael Bradley. It was a really good goal. It was kind of reminiscent of David Platt at his best.
So, watching that performance, what did you make of the Slovenian side? Well, do you think it is the kind of team that England can play against? Does it represent something that's particularly dangerous for England?
From a passing point of view, everything's dangerous for England. They can, I mean, Algeria tonight, you'd have thought would be terrible.
But the problem is supposed to be pace going at the England back line. Is that something that Slovenia possess?
I didn't see anybody who was particularly fast,
right,
James.
Okay.
I saw lots of decent passing.
And, we'll have more pace in the next game anyway, because Carragher can't play.
Dawson and Upson aren't exactly
but they're
Speedy
faster.
Gonzalez,
they're faster than Carragher.
Yeah, so am I.
Stunning goal.
I've kind of a chalkboard here with Slovenia with lots of arrows pointing everywhere. So there's a guy, Zlatko Dedic, and his arrow goes forward and to the left, which suggests he's one to watch. And right winger Valtar Bissa, his arrow goes diagonally to the inside, and left winger Andras Kerm, his arrow goes forward. So I suspect that will cause England all kinds of problems.
Well, what about
at the risk of sounding like Jonathan Wilson?
Right. Winger Vince Bursa, his arrow went all the way into the goal and very, very prettily today.
Can I just say that my favourite player is Brecco?
Okay.
Because that's what Steven Gerrard wakes up to every morning.
Can't wait for me, Brecco.
He can't wait to eat him up.
Excellent. There you go. Well, a bigger surprise of today's games, with all due respect to England, was probably Germany's loss to Serbia, given the nature of the opponent, Serbia, and the fact that they missed a penalty on the way. Now, the referee came in for a lot of stick in this, as did Lucas.
I don't know how you could just... And they missed a penalty along the way.
Well, we're coming back to it.
The little snakes were going underground. little animals were looking up and scurrying off to the burrows because Germany missed a penalty. It's like, oh, there's an earthquake coming. Get under. And you just gloss over it like that.
That's right.
They haven't missed one in the World Cup for 28 years.
Indeed.
Was it Podolski who missed it?
It was.
Yes.
He missed quite a lot of chances.
Polish, isn't he? He's not German.
Ah, there you go.
Well, Slasher posting in, I thought the Germans played admirably with 10 men. But Poldy, Jesus, props to the Serbs for pulling themselves together after the first match, though. As I say, problems with the referee, Jogilov's synchronised combination knitwear on the sideline, which was, and Podolski's finishing, because he really did have every chance to at least equalise for Germany there. Closer, though, should he have known better, or was the red card justified?
No, it wasn't justified at all. It was three powder puff tackles, and the referee sent him off, and... There was no reason for him to do that. The first one, the first one was accidental. He was chasing back and just showing enthusiasm.
Yeah, the first
one
was
to just run into him. Yeah, the second one, he again was just being enthusiastic and just nudged the guy in the back. Now at that point, you have a word and say, "I might book you on the next one." But on the third one, then he decided to send him off. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Alberto Undiano, I believe his name is.
Oh, good call.
Dreadful guy.
Right. Germany still lead their group on their goal difference, but it's Germany, Ghana and Serbia all on 3 points, with Australia trailing in behind. Of course, Ghana and Australia yet to play their second fixture. The group stage, Ghana and Australia. Tomorrow we'll be looking... Well, Saturday, if you like. We'll be looking at that a bit more in depth in a second. A quick look at one or two posts. I'm not going to be able to pronounce this correctly, but it's Erdici Jabolko or something like that. Cheval, two of the many people posting in to mention that Liebach were not neo-Nazis, as I might have said that they were in yesterday's. Or at least they're not sure, because they made various kind of vaguely equivocal comments on the subject.
I believe the Guardian lawyers are dealing with that as we speak. Furiously negotiating.
Yes. Cheval also mentions that South Africa... Does anyone else think South Africa will beat France in the last match? If nothing else, Shabalala against Tulala will sound like a Dexie Midnight Runners chorus from 1982. Very nice stuff. And I am indebted to Dave's football blog, who highlighted the World Cup sitcoms trending topic on Twitter. World Cup sitcoms, basically people have been posting in or tweeting in... they're World Cup sitcoms. Mrs. Stephen Fry, particularly active. Faulty Torres. Are You Being Serbia? They get worse after this, actually. Scott Footblock has Nobody Loves Raymond, which kind of did. Woking Web Design, Le Farce Show, JT Thorpe 33, Sven Behaving Badly. Mrs. Stephen Fry again with Sombreros Do Have 'Em, which is a particular favourite. And yeah. False Dog, It Ain't Half Time, Mum, which is a naive charm. Now, there you go. Excellent. Back to the football. We mentioned Ghana, Australia. Ghana, the only African winner so far. A team with enormous spirit and unity.
Oh, come on, Ghana. Come on, Ghana. Surely everybody wants Ghana to go through.
I don't know. Does everybody
want
Ghana to go through?
Anybody in this room doesn't want Ghana to go through? There is a real risk if Ghana don't win tomorrow.
Yes?
Sad face pulled. If Ghana don't win tomorrow, there's a real risk that there will be no African sides in the last 16.
That's true.
And that's you know, surely nobody wants no African sides in the last 16. I think apart from the Cameroonians who've been a disgrace, and the Nigerians who've been a disgrace, the African sides have acquitted themselves quite well in this tournament, but not had much luck. And I would certainly like to see them progress. So, I think Ghana are pretty tidy. I think they look particularly good down the left-hand side.
What about Ivory Coast? I reckon Sven can get them on top of the table. You know where I'm going, don't you?
Yeah. That joke, no.
No, okay, come on.
Baz.
Yeah, that was it. And Australia looked rubbish. They did. I mean,
I am aware.
That's where the anti-Ghanaian sentiments come in.
There's an Australian sitting in the front row,
right.
So I'm not for a moment going to suggest that they're not up to the job of beating Ghana tomorrow. But
the Australian players seem to feel that they needed to play in a more Australian fashion. Tim Cahill will be.
What's that?
I'm not sure. I was going to ask Greg. But Cahill won't be there because, of course, he's banned. Although it has been reduced to just one game now, so he will be back for the final match in the group. So
they're going to wear dungarees instead of kit and arrive in a ute.
And then wear swimming caps.
Set up a Barbie in the
college
dugout and other lame stereotypes.
All right, Harry Kewell will also be back.
It lasted 2 minutes, won't it?
Could be a crucial 2 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, so we're not envisaging that game being particularly close. Although, in this World Cup of surprises,
anything could happen. You know, the Aussies, they have an American-type spirit, and I'm sure they will be offended by the last result and will want to go out and make amends. That will be the only thing in their favour. They are probably the slowest team ever at the history of the World Cup.
Yeah, and that's without Mark Viduka as well. Imagine. Yeah.
And they're also relying heavily on the offside rule without appearing to understand the offside rule, which is quite a problem.
At the heart of their defence.
But I'm confident they'll kick some goals tomorrow and everything will be okay. That group could end up going into the last round with everyone on 3 points.
Yeah.
So that would be fascinating.
All right. Is this the most surprising World Cup ever?
No, 2002.
Really?
Yes.
All right then.
South Korea semi-finals, France out first round. Some other
Argentina
things happened.
Yeah.
The other things that happened
Italy
were very surprising.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So many.
Kevin Kilbane shooting wide from 7 yards. That was a shock.
Usually he misses from four.
Well, this one's off to a particularly shocking start, and perhaps more surprises tomorrow as Japan take on Holland. Let's see, this group with Holland currently tied with Japan on top of the group. So big game this, and lovely quote from Dirk Kuyt. I don't know if you saw this. We have a lot of players in our team who like sushi, and we hope to have Japan for dinner.
So he's so naive, isn't he? You just know his teammates have put him up to that. So it'd be really funny if you say this, Dirk. Yes, it will. And he's gone, and now we're taken.
I'll be using that in tomorrow's intro. Right, there you go. They met September last year, my notes reveal, and Holland were 3-0 winners, although Wesley Snyder claims that the first hour of the match, Japan were in charge. Still no Robin, and Holland weren't amazing against Denmark. It took a fairly... surprising own goal to set them on their way. What's
Japan, a well organised team.
Yeah.
Well, someone said they're well organised, which is always a good sign that they haven't a clue. They don't know anything about them whatsoever, and that kind of covers all the bases. It's what I said about Greece when the question "Who are my dark horses for the tournament?" was sprung at me in a video. They're very well organised. Huge shoulder shrug. So.
I have a 100% watching record on the World Cup so far.
Really?
Yeah, take that.
All right. Well, Japan, they seem to have the wind of destiny blowing behind them, do they not? They've got first win.
I think they're very solid at the back. Tulio.
Passion.
Yeah.
well, peace,
passion, patience, determination.
Yeah.
And I think they're solid at the back. I think they've got a couple of in Hondo and
Hondo,
number 10. Yeah.
Yeah, you said Hondo.
No. Yeah. I meant to say Hondo. Sorry about that. Hondo
and number 10. And they're both well organised at the back and.
Yeah, but I've named three players.
You've named one.
Number 10.
Honda.
And
you named one Honda, and you called him Hondo.
All right, fine.
Matt Sui, there we go, there's another one.
That went well, that discussion, didn't it?
It certainly did.
Yeah.
Let's try harder with Cameroon, Denmark. You mentioned Cameroon being particularly disappointing.
I'm not saying anything because I know nothing because I only
Cameroon, hardly the best build-up for this game against the feisty Danish Dynamite.
No.
The players have been coming out and saying to their manager, it's all got to change. And Eto today, did you see this, saying, I'm not playing on the right. I'm not playing out wide for anybody.
It's like he's on that rail that the camera goes up and down the touchline. And he just can't get off it. He just can't get off the rail. Somebody let him off the rail, please.
A bit of a mutiny going on there in the Cameroon camp.
Yeah.
Well, Eto was right to not want to play on the right. I mean, he was lost out there in the last game. And obviously, Marino had him playing on the wing for Inter, but he's Cameroon's best player. He's a brilliant centre-forward, one of the best in the world, and he should be playing centre-forward for them. And it's... I'm curious to know, what would happen if, say, France or Cameroon just had a mutiny of sorts and disregarded their manager's instructions? And Eto defied his manager and played centre-forward. The board went up for him to come off, and he refused. What, do you have to go off? Could the other substitute refuse to come on? I don't know.
Would the World Cup end? Would the world implode? Will we end up living on Venus? This is what could happen.
I hadn't thought it through that much.
Or Denmark, for example, could take advantage of the fragile team relations and secure a vital win for themselves, he said, desperately ploughing ahead with the preview
You could look at France in 2006 and, you know, you had the Dominic problem, but you had enough senior players in that team who wanted to plough on, who knew what they were doing, and they reorganised the team in their own image and they went to the final. I don't think quite Cameroon have that enough talent in their team to do that, but they do have some. They could certainly play a lot better than they did in the first game, given the assembled talent.
Rangers were dreadful under Paul Le Guen, weren't they, as well? And I think Rangers fans probably know better than anybody that he's... I think they play... I can't remember who it was, but he would often play players out of position for Rangers, and that's ultimately why he got sacked and why they went out of the Champions League.
Bob Smythe, who has pretty much written a thesis on the Denmark team of... What was the famous with Elkjær?
92, is it? No, 86.
86. Yeah. And he reckons this is the best Denmark team since then, and possibly a better Denmark team. They didn't show it against Holland, but they might show it tomorrow. What they're well organised at the back. Got lots of spirit. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. Okay, super. Members of the public are becoming shifting uncomfortably in their seats. I think, should we close off today's Historic World Cup Daily with one or two questions from the floor? And there's a microphone coming to this gentleman here.
Mr. Baz.
Hello.
How often do you see John Terry's car parked outside your house?
I don't know what he drives. There's a black Ford Focus constantly parked outside their house, which I thought belonged to my girlfriend, but now you've sowed a seed of doubt in my mind.
Did it have those little tacky England flags on it?
No.
Excellent. And similarly, from a gentleman there?
Jimbo, as much as I hate to bring back to domestic football, do you not think tonight's game was a cutting indictment of Serie A, where Fabio Capello could win three championships?
Well, in the same way that the free scoring qualifying matches were a damning indictment of Serie A. Right. No, I mean, Fabio Capello was always known as the most defensive of managers in Serie A. Even for Serie A, Sorry?
Even with Roma?
No, when he went to Roma, he wasn't, because there was no way that he could. And to be honest, at that point, he and the rest of Carlo Ancelotti as well, who used to be desperately dour back in the day, had then begun to revise his tactics. But he was the guy, basically, who had the best back four in European football and then brought in Desailly to sit in front of them.
So you're happy to admit...
He conceded, I think, was it 13 goals in the entire... Either 13 or 31, I'm a bit dyslexic sometimes.
I defer to you, but you're happy to admit that Italian football's crap.
That's a
You're quite the lawyer, aren't you, sir?
But sorry, is Capello being shown up now as a straw man? He came in with talk, I'm a winner, I win games. He hasn't won a game yet in this. He's on £6 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a lot of money.
By the looks of it, he's not a tournament manager.
The big thing about not playing Joe Hart is he's no experience, but Capello has no experience either at this level.
Good point.
You know?
Call the FA.
And Joe Cole gets a chance, though, do you know, I think.
Will he?
I think things are looking desperate. Well, at least he played him on the right this time. No, you're right. But there's something about him not obeying his position. He doesn't stick out wide, Joe Cole. He looks to come inside. And Capello doesn't like that. You're right. It's inconsistent.
Gentleman at the back.
Hi, guys. Do you think, given the abject nature of France's defeat, that it would actually help the new manager start off with a blank canvas?
Zoot.
And another question. I mean, I don't think that was really about the answer to that question, was it really? And hands up if you have a question.
It's just to Mr. McGuinness. You say that England are a good passing team, but who do you actually think are the world class passers in that team? It seems they're more like Mike Bassett than they are a World Cup winning team. They were outshone by the Algerians in the first half of passing, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the instance of the 90 minutes tonight, then Algeria played better in perhaps half of the first half. Otherwise, it was equal. They were both equally bad. The passers in our team, Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard, they were both awful. But that doesn't. But that's my point. Is not that they didn't play well. They didn't play well. That nobody played well. But that we do have those players in the team. Wayne Rooney can pass the ball. Wayne Rooney can pass the ball from deep. Ashley Cole can actually deliver the ball. Glenn Johnson can cross the ball. You know, but it was all over the place, and you saw the kind of the most basic things that the players do very well week in, week out, going wrong. Aaron Lennon never went outside his marker, always looked to go inside. He played two terrible back heels, which ended up kind of bouncing off a defender and out of play. But there was a split second where you could see him thinking, will this come off if I try it? I'll give it a go. No, it didn't. And there was just that lack of confidence in the team, and I think that's the big mystery.
Do you not think maybe Capello being a disciplinarian has made a lot of the players feel a little bit inhibited?
Yeah, but they were behind it. They were behind it in qualification. Now all of a sudden, if that is the case, and I can believe that, now they're sulking. It's like, well, get a fucking...
Yeah, well, passion.
Get a freaking grip, guys. You know, these people are professionals. They're adults. They've played in high pressure situations. I was so disappointed to see what I saw tonight. So disappointed with Wayne Rooney.
At least no one here. Kiss your mother with that mouth.
Now I use the tongue.
Well, I was going to finish things there, but I think let's just keep going. I like the way this is heading. That said, this is all the time we've got for. That's all the time we've got today for World Cup Daily. Many thanks to everyone for joining us today. Can I just ask all the people wearing "I belong to Jimbo" people to stand up? Oh, yeah.
True supporter.
I don't know how that one slipped through our mailing department because, anyway, and also all the people here on a date. I'm hoping for even numbers, otherwise we could have one or two questions. Is anybody standing up?
I am.
Oh, yeah, Barry, there you go.
Round I know how to show a girl a good Barry. Time.
Yeah. Excellent. And then that really is it. Many, many thanks to you all, and especially Greg Ruffley, Barry Glendening, and Paul McInnes, producer Ben, producer Matt, everybody else. And we'll be back at the usual time tomorrow with our review of all the Saturday action and a little look forward to Sunday too. So do make sure you join us for that. And in the meantime, from all of us here, it is goodbye.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.